I'm Afshin Rifansi, and welcome back to Going Underground. On the day, Antonio Gramsci, from whom we inherit the refined geopolitical words hegemony and bloc, was de facto killed by Mussolini. We are broadcasting all around the world from the UAE, the Gulf country most targeted in Trump's war on Iran and Lebanon for Netanyahu, a war that could end U.S. hegemonic power. Millions killed, wounded, or displaced in this region, and billions pushed into hardship even before the U.S. military defeat have marked the war so far. Surreally, today the UN Security Council will be debating maritime security, which of course Donald Trump has destroyed. The Strait of Hormuz, half owned by Iran and Oman, has made the war Netanyahu wanted truly global, as prices of everything from fuel to medicine to food will now be hurting everyone, not just those aligned to criminal NATO action. While a vassal state king is scheduled to pay homage to Trump today from a country whose prime minister is mired in Epstein child abuse, Washington ambassadorial scandals, there is another more important visit coming up, not Sir Keir Starmer's latest envoy to Washington, but the visit of Trump himself to the capital of the country with the largest economy on earth by PPP, powered by Iranian and Russian energy. When Trump meets Xi Jinping, though, he probably won't know that in his country, Americans in the poorest U.S. counties die 20 years sooner than in Shanghai. So appalling is U.S. life expectancy. Joining me now is the Vice President of the Center for China and Globalization, Chairman of the China Energy Security Institute and Chair Professor at Soochow University, Victor Gao, translated for China's paramount leader, and he joins me now from Beijing. Victor, thanks so much for coming back on Going Underground after 5 years it's been. I was going to talk straight about Iran. The Financial Times, for instance, to name one newspaper, Tehran deploys Chinese satellite to target U.S. bases across the Middle East. That kind of headline came as the executive office of the president, Donald Trump's being the president, said the United States government has information indicating foreign entities principally based in China are engaged in deliberate industrial scale campaigns. Is China supplying weapons to Iran?
First of all, allow me to remind your global audience that Financial Times of the UK now is owned by Japanese interests. I will not be surprised if you see Japanese fingerprints in such sensational allegations. Allow me to also to mention China has tremendous amount of commercial satellite services, many of which are open to international cooperation. And it will not be surprising if any country in the world, including Iran, may have signed up for satellite services by China. This is completely normal, absolutely legal, nothing illegal, nothing illicit, nothing to be hidden from. So I hope the editors of Financial Times will wake up and free themselves from potential Japanese insidious influence and tell the truth to the world. China is a major satellite service provider, and China can absolutely engage in commercial, normal satellite services with any country in the world, any country under the sun, period.
Well, targeting is one thing. Then Trump said that the U.S. had seized a ship that, quote, had some things on it that were, quote, not very nice, a gift from China. So in that case, it's not the satellite targeting, it's the actual weapons. What did you make of that? And actually, what did you make of Beijing as foreign ministry spokesman Guo Jiakun saying it's China's a responsible major country, but seeming to walk back the idea that China is supplying arms to a country, Iran, which after all does supply a lot of energy to China?
First of all, I completely trust the statement from the Chinese government through its foreign ministry. And I understand the Chinese position is that China does not supply weapon to any country at war, especially, for example, at war in this particular case between United States and Israel,
on the one hand. Why not, given that China and Iran are friends, so much of the energy fueling the Chinese economic miracle has been from Iran. Why don't you supply weapons to your friends?
Well, first of all, from day one, when the war broke out on February the 28th, China's position has been consistent. China calls for an immediate end to this war. And China applauds and very much is opposed to a war of aggression. And you may recall the Secretary General of the United Nations, Mr. Guterres, called this war launched by the United States and Israel against Iran as a war of aggression. And China calls for defending the United Nations Charter, defending international law, prohibiting wars of aggression against any member of the United Nations, including Iran. So I think China's support to Iran has been unequivocal, very explicit. And this is the reason why Iran has been expressing thanks to the very strong and consistent Chinese support. Now, whether China wants to sell weapons to any other country, especially a country at war, that is a decision only up to China to decide. China, I think, believes Iran still has enough wherewithal to defend its sovereignty and territorial integrity. And I don't think there has been any specific request from Iran for Chinese military help. And this is the reality. So I'm firmly opposed to any allegation that China is supplying weapons to Iran. Iran is fully capable of defending itself because it keeps demonstrating and surprising many countries by the kind of weapons, either drones or missiles, or even missiles with a range of up to 4,000 kilometers, and all kinds of warheads that they can carry. And I think Iran is on its way to successfully defending its sovereignty and territorial integrity, regardless of the massive amount of losses, including loss of life, that the United States and Israel have inflicted on Iran. So let's be very specific as to why what we are talking about. Iran has not requested for any military aid from China, and China does not supply weapon to a country at war.
No one, of course, expects Western Europe to be involved in any international negotiations. They're suffering their own economic catastrophes at home. But do you not think China missed a trick in not hosting the negotiations between the Americans and the Iranians? I know China has good relations with Pakistan, but why are the negotiations not in Beijing?
First of all, I think it is important to know that President Trump, about 2 weeks ago, specifically thanked China for the positive role China played to bring Iran and the United States to the negotiation table. Now, this is quite extraordinary because President Trump not only gave all the credit to himself. Now, what China has done is amazing because Chinese government has specifically mentioned that the Chinese foreign minister, His Excellency Wang Yi, have called up to more than 20 foreign ministers from 20 different countries and kept working very closely with them, trying to urge for peace and de-escalation and ending the war. And as you mentioned, China and Pakistan are ironclad brothers and sisters. We trust each other tremendously. I would not be surprised if China has played some role through the intermediary role played by Pakistan. And Pakistan has, you know, kind of a very much of a confidence of the United States on the one hand and Iran on the other hand. And China and Iran support each other without any reservation in terms of many major international issues. So it's very obvious that China has played a very positive role. And I believe will continue to play a very positive role to end this war and try to achieve peace rather than countries going to each other, the jugular for endless wars. Now, whether China will be able to play more role, greater role, absolutely. I personally hope China will assist or help or even supplement or whatever you may think about the role that Pakistan is playing or even jointly play this role of intermediary with Pakistan or even, for example, playing a more positive role then Pakistan is playing to make sure that the war between the United States and Iran will end. Now, whether Israel will be able to support this peace deal between the United States and Iran, that's another thing. Whether Prime Minister Netanyahu will have all the wrong incentive to sabotage the peace negotiation between the United States and Iran, that's another thing we need to be on our full alert. However, don't doubt China's commitment to do whatever it can to make sure that the war between the United States and Iran end, and the sooner the better. Normally, China plays such a role behind the closed door or behind the veils, for example, so that you do not see very much how much China has been doing. China does not grab the headlight or try to grab any credit for itself, etc. For China, diplomacy should be done very much behind the scene without grabbing the headlines, rather than you'll capture the headline on the minute-by-minute basis.
Okay, so but you don't think you don't think there is any dissent within the Communist Party in China about the fact that Trump is going to be scheduled visit, the previous one was postponed, visiting Beijing, and the world knows that Trump oversaw the mass killing of those schoolgirls in Minab in southern Iran. Do you think China should be hosting a meeting with the man who was responsible for ordering the killing of all those elementary schoolgirls?
Well, all the crimes committed in Iran against the government and the people, the country of Iran, are very obvious. It's well recorded. That's absolutely a very important point to make. Now, on the other hand, China-US relations being the most important bilateral relations in the world, and the fact that China and the United States both very much value the head of state meetings between China and the United States is also well recorded. Further, the proposed state visit by President Trump of the United States to China has been prepared since day one of President Trump's second presidency on January the 20th, 2025. It has been continuously arranged and rearranged, restructured throughout the year of 2025, and it was originally scheduled for end of March and the beginning of April. It did not have anything to do with that war.
Because some say the war is the war on China. We had the chief of staff at the U.S. State Department, the former chief of staff, Larry Wilkerson, on this program, the colonel, and he said, this is not a war in Iran, really. It's really a war on China.
Well, he may have whatever he has to say, whether he speaks the truth, whether whatever he say will be generally taken as the truth, that's another thing. Let me tell you one thing, and hopefully through you, to your global audience. The United States may want to have a war with China one way or another, direct war, indirect war, proxy war, conventional war, unconventional war, tariff war, trade war, you name it. It's well recorded. The point which matters now is that China refuses to be engaged in a war, any kind of war with the United States. And China believes whatever war the United States wants to engage with China, the United States will not win without suffering major losses. So it's not worthwhile for the United States even to think about having a war of any kind with China or even going to engage with China in a war. That's why I proposed my theory of inevitability of peace between China and the United States. I hope that retired officer of the United States will realize what I'm saying now and acknowledge the fact that the United States, by engaging China in any kind of war, will not walk out of the war as a net winner. It will be a loser. How much it will lose? You ask the Pentagon how much China will be able to stand and defend its fundamental interests. And
Victor Gao, I'll stop you there. More from the Vice President of the Center for China and Globalization after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the Vice President of the Center for China and Globalization, Victor Gao. Victor, you were telling me in part one about your hopes for the inevitability of peace. You know, the Sulzberger family's New York Times said blockade jeopardizes hopes of thaw with Beijing. This is relating to the blockade of Iranian oil in the Strait of Hormuz. As I said in part one about Larry Wilkerson saying it was a war on China, you don't believe the kidnapping of Venezuela's Maduro was also an implicit attack on China? These are all tentacle moves aimed at destroying Chinese power globally. And China, meanwhile, is set to roll out the red carpet for Trump. You don't see any disparity here?
No, I do not see anything like that. First of all, China attaches great importance to the state visit by President Trump to China, originally scheduled for end of March, now scheduled for the middle of May. That's number one. Number two is that I hope all of us will realize that China-U.S. relations is much bigger dimension than either the U.S. war of aggression against Venezuela or the ongoing war of aggression against Iran. Basically, China and the United States, their bilateral relations are so important that if China-U.S. relations get derailed, you know what will be the consequence? There may be Armageddon in the world. Mankind will be dragged into an endless war. Therefore, everyone in this world should hope that China and the United States will manage their bilateral relations in such a way that they will both, and the world will enjoy the inevitability of peace between China and the United States. And I'm personally opposed to anyone in this world who wants to agitate for war between China and the United States. Therefore, from the Chinese perspective, we look at the world as a whole. And an important part is, of course, Venezuela and the war of aggression they suffered from the United States. Of course, the world has an important part, that is Iran and its 6,000 years of civilization and the war inflicted upon it, a war of aggression inflicted by the United States and Iran. But on the other hand, I believe the majority of mankind will agree with me. China-U.S. relations are so important that we need to make sure that these bilateral relations do not get derailed by anything the United States is doing.
But isn't the concern here, Victor, that the genocide in Gaza, the war in Iran, the kidnapping of Maduro, in effect, they were financed by China because China owns those treasury bills keeping the U.S. economy afloat. We should blame China for the genocide. Is that not a factor in the hallowed halls in Beijing? Do they not see it that way, that now is the time, specifically when the United States is perceived as weak around the world after its defeat against Iran, to get rid of all that all the U.S. T-bills?
Well, I hope you will be more philosophical, and I do believe you will have all the wisdom you deserve. But on the other hand, allow me to mention one thing. Whatever President Trump and the U.S. government are doing right now, launching war after war, you know, against Venezuela, against Vietnam, against Iran, or even against Cuba, or trying to take over Greenland, or take over Canada, etc. All these things are not making America greater again. As a matter of fact, they just serve the opposite purpose. They will actually make the United States much weaker. I would say if history looks back at the year 2026, they may mark the year 2026 as the beginning of the end of Pax Americana. Why? Because America is disregarding international law, trampling on the United Nations Charter, thinking about...
Yeah, but it's all paid for because of the Chinese treasury bills.
Absolutely not. I don't think so. I think China wants to make sure that the Chinese foreign currency reserve can be well invested, and investing in the U.S. Treasury is one of the ways to deploy Chinese foreign currency reserve. China used to be the largest treasury bond holder. China consistently and continuously reduced its U.S. Treasury bond holding. And this is also a fact well recorded. And in the future, I think China will continue to decrease its U.S. Treasury bonds.
Do you believe now is the time to make a sharper reduction? As you say, it's no longer the largest holder of Treasury bills. But do you think now is the chance and create the BRICS currency with the money?
Well, first of all, this will be a decision only for the Chinese government to decide. Now, whether they want to reduce or significantly reduce or completely wipe out the Chinese holding of the U.S. Treasury bond, no one else can decide. Only the Chinese government will decide. That's a very important point. Secondly, China also cares about the financial integrity of the global financial market as a whole. And, for example, if the United States financial market tanks, it's absolutely bad for the United States. That's without a doubt. But it's also bad for the international economy, international financial integrity. So from the Chinese perspective, being very philosophical for thousands of years, the Chinese mind is always being very philosophical. We want to do the right thing, even though if doing the right thing, the opposite side will benefit. And we do not want to do the wrong thing, even if doing the wrong thing will make the opposite side or the hostile side suffer. If, for example, mankind will suffer more. So I think you are talking about an equilibrium, and the Chinese equilibrium is always don't do unto others what you do not want others do unto you. And we want to make sure that the world will gain by peace and the world will gain by opposing aggression. That's why China is really raising its voice to the top pitch by condemning wars of aggression. And I hope mankind will realize that the so-called Pax Americana is coming to an end, accelerated by President Trump and his government by launching war after war against other countries. And China has become the fierce defender of world peace, the major champion of defending international free trade. So I hope mankind will have conscience and judgment to say which country is doing the right thing. And in this particular case, it's the United States which is doing the right, wrong thing. And China's doing the right thing. United States is doing the wrong thing. That's the most important point.
Sometimes history suddenly speeds up, of course. Do you think that Chinese ministries understood that the petro-yuan would be created so quickly as a name even in NATO nation, so-called mainstream media? And you think the deep state in the United States is relaxed about the amount of oil now being traded in yuan rather than the petrodollar, which is so needed in the U.S. Equities market?
First of all, personally, I do believe more and more oil will be traded in yuan. Why? Because China is the largest importer. China imports oil from many countries, including from Russia and Iran, Venezuela before, and many other countries, Saudi Arabia, of course. So China is well diversified in doing this oil trade with multiple countries. Number two is that more and more countries are shying away from dollar, and they want to look for a currency with greater stability, greater trustworthiness, and also trust. Just trust. You need to have a currency which commands trust. I think under President Trump, the United States has become the biggest source of uncertainty, unpredictability, and unreliability in the world. And that will brush off on the US dollar. I would not be surprised. And many other countries, with their own decency in mind and also their common sense, they may want to say, well, comparing US dollar versus the Chinese yuan, which country behind it is more trustworthy, more reliable, more predictable? Absolutely. In the world of today, China is much more trustworthy, certain, predictable, reliable than the United States. So the decision will be normal. Don't be surprised if more countries exporting oil to China will receive renminbi payment. And don't be surprised if China will work with them, cooperate with them to create many platforms of investing the renminbi or using renminbi as the reserve, for example. I would say right now, the Chinese yuan only accounts for about 2.5 to 3% international trade and settlement. I would not be surprised if in the coming years, the Chinese yuan in terms of its percentage in international payment, settlement, and reserve and investment will increase minimum by tenfold, reaching about 25% to 30%. Now, this is not accelerated by China. This will be the result of momentum being generated in the world of today. Everyone in the world today.
Just finally, that's quite a figure. And that'll certainly thrill the CIA, that number that you just told me. But just finally, Victor, you were an advisor to Saudi Aramco once. How would you advise GCC countries to navigate the current conflict as it presages a new geopolitical framework, as you've outlined?
Well, I pride my relations with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia as well as with many other Middle Eastern countries. I have several points to offer as advice. First of all, when China was involved with Iran and Saudi Arabia, they shook hands. They ended their decades, if not hundreds of years, of hostility against each other. When the United States and Israel get involved between Iran and Saudi Arabia, they fire a shot at each other. They became hostile again. So I hope Iran, on the one hand, Saudi Arabia, and all the other Middle Eastern Arab countries, on the other hand, will know that when China is involved, you get peace. When the United States and Israel get involved, you will get hostility, war, confrontation, destruction. So the choice is very obvious. I hope all my friends, highly regarded by me in Saudi Arabia, will listen to me, treat China as a major source of defending free trade. And I hope when the dust ends for this war of aggression against Iran, the Iranians and the Arabs will shake hands again, preferably with Chinese intervention and mediation, and they may cement their friendship and cooperation for decades and centuries to come, because it will be suicidal for the Arabs who believe in Muslim, although they believe in, many of them believe in Sunni Muslim, and the Iranians who are Muslims, even though they believe in Shiite version of Muslim, get at each other's juggernaut. It will be much better if they can recognize each other, respect each other, shake each other's hand, and engage in cooperation with each other, rather than as some other countries are leading them in the wrong direction, being hostile with each other, trying to destroy each other, get to each other's jugular. That will not be the better Muslim world at large. That will not be the better Middle East.
Victor Gao, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's it for the show. Our continued condolences to all those bereaved by today's NATO nation wars of aggression. We'll be back on Saturday for more continuing coverage of the US wars on West Asia. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Saturday.